Hello, my name is Mathieu Otassé. I'm a GNU Geeks co-maintainer, and you can reach me at otassé at gnu.org. And I'm here to talk to you about the GNU Geeks continuous integration process, and that's why this talk is called GNU Geeks Behind the Scene. So let's get started. What's GNU Geeks? So GNU Geeks is a package manager inspired from the Nix package manager, but written in Guile scheme. GNU Geeks is also a GNU Linux distribution, which provides some interesting innovative features such as scheme declarative system configuration and system deployment, system reconfiguration, and other tools that I will talk about in another talk in the distribution dev room, if you feel like listening. But now, let's try to update Geeks. So, the Geeks pull command is more or less an equivalent of the apt update command. But the Geeks pull command updates the package definitions and the Geeks tool itself, the Geeks tooling itself. So if I run Geeks pull, I know that I now have 133 new packages and that 252 packages have been upgraded. I also know that since the last Geeks pull, the Geeks tool has new features, for instance here a new --tune option. Running this command on my machine takes about 1 minute, but here I run this command with the --node substitutes option, and it took around 43 minutes. I'm not using a dusty old laptop. I'm using a Geeks server with 32 cores, an SSD drive, and a quite powerful machine. So obviously this substitute option makes a huge difference. So what are the substitutes? The definition would be that they are archives which contain the output of a derivation. Now, if you are not deep down inside GNU Geeks, you don't know what a derivation is, so this sentence won't help you much. So let me explain. Let's say I want to install the hello package. The hello package is just more or less a binary which, when executed, outputs hello world on the console. To install it, we first need to build it. And we build it from a derivation, which is why there is a -d option here. And a derivation is a file. It's this file here. And this file contains a few inputs, which are the package dependencies. For instance, to build hello, we need the GCC compiler, the glibc library, the make tool, and stuff like that. We also need to follow some steps, such as configure, make install. Then the derivation has an output, which is here the binary, the hello binary. We can build the derivation ourselves to get this binary, of course, but we can also ask a server. Here the ci.geeks.gnu.org server, if it has already done this computation ahead of us. And in that case it did, and it reports that we can download substitutes in two compression formats, LZIP and ZSTD. We can download them here, and we can use them to avoid resorting to building the hello package. Now, the hello package can be built quickly, but if you are installing a new system and you need to build everything from scratch, it will take days or more. So obviously substitutes are really important, and in my opinion, they make the difference between making Geeks usable and making Geeks a nightmare where you build everything from sources and you are burning all your CPUs. Of course, there is a but. You may not trust the substitute server here, which is part of NuGeeks, but I will understand that you do not trust it. And in that case, building everything from sources is an option. It allows you to check what you've built against what we have built. It can be something interesting, but for most users, I suspect that substitutes are really important. So how do the substitutes are built on this server? That's where Keras comes into the party. So Keras is the rewrite of a software which is called Nix, Hydra. Hydra from Nix, and this software, the role of this software is to build substitutes for all the possible derivations available. And Keras does so by pulling Git repositories. In fact, most of the time, one Git repository, the Geeks Git repository. Then it evaluates all the derivations available for this repository. And it tries to build them either locally or on remote daemons. It stores the build products, making them available or not. It stores the build logs, some build metrics, all of that in a database. And it provides an API or a web interface to consult the status of the building. Now, Keras needs some machines to run, and here you need to understand that it's quite a lot of work, because we have one main master branch with like 20,000 package definitions. Those packages are available for five architectures, x32, x64, ARMHF, ARM64, PowerPC, and we also have a few branches. We have the master branch, which is the branch you use when you Geeks pool without any option. But we also have some development branches, when, for instance, we want to update a lot of packages, we want to test the new Python release, we want to update to GNOME 42, stuff like that. So it makes a lot of substitutes. And obviously, as soon as someone makes a commit, the commit makes its way to the Git repository. If someone Geeks pool at that point, that someone gets new derivations, new definitions. And if the build farm has not built it ahead of that person, then it will be necessary to build everything locally. So we try to build everything ahead of the users, and it's quite a challenge. So for that, we have one main node, which is a powerful node with a lot of storage. To this node are connected 30 workers, 30 machines, in fact, powerful machines too. Those are the 30 machines are Intel X34 machines, but we also have 6 ARM machines and one PowerPC machine accessible via VPN. maintaining all of that is, as I said, a challenge. At first, it was mostly a challenge due to software issues, in particular in Keras, because it was using Fibers, which is a software that helps to deal with a high level of parallelism. Fibers is a GNU/GUI library, a really nice library, but it's not that mature. Keras is more or less the only consequent user, so we had quite a lot of trouble with Fibers. But we also had issues with the database, SQLite, because it didn't scale that well. It was caused by different issues. One of them was that we didn't adhere to the SQLite model, and we had multiple readers and multiple writers, when I think that you should have only one writer. We also had some queries which were undeterministic, sometimes taking few seconds, sometimes taking ages. We had to map the SQLite file in memory to avoid that. We had some issues, well, a lot of issues with SQLite. We also had problems with the offloading mechanism of Geeks we were using, which wasn't really suitable here. It didn't scale well, it wasn't really adapted for Keras. So last year I worked during 6 months on Keras. It was sponsored by NLNet. Thank you, NLNet. And one of the things I did was to switch to a PostgreSQL database, and it solved all our database related performance issues without any adjustment or tweaking. So quite an improvement. I also improved the user interfaces, so on one side the web interface, but on the other side the configuration. I also used ZMQ to replace the built-in Geeks offloading mechanism, so switching from a concurrency library to a poll-based model, an event model. This is working quite well, and I also took advantage of the sponsorship to add watchdogs, timeouts, metrics, logging, and all the stuff. That's what the new architecture looks like. So we have the main Keras process here on the left side. It's fetching the Geeks sources, and then it's storing the new derivations in the Geeks store, and also in its own database, so that it can monitor the new derivations and their status. We also have the remote server, the Keras remote server, which picks builds from the Keras database, and we have some workers, which are external machines, which are communicating with ZMQ with the remote server. They are asking for builds, performing those builds. They use the main node publish server to fetch the new derivations. And once the build is done, they notify the remote server, still via ZMQ, and that way the remote server is able to fetch the new substitutes using the worker publish server. So it might sound like a complex design, but it's in fact quite simple, and it has the benefit that it reuses a lot of existing Geeks code, such as the publish mechanism, the substitute downloading mechanism. So while developing on Keras, I tried to follow a few guidelines which are more common sense than anything else, but I feel it's important to share them with you. So I tried to write a new SQL queries which were performing well when put to scale. I mean, when you write a query and you only have a few entries in your table, no matter how you write the query, you will have decent performance. But when the table is a few thousand, a few gigabytes in size, you need to optimize it quite well. You need to have indexes. And also, you need to make sure that you don't have regressions between every version of your queries. So writing unit tests covering every query is really important here. I also tried to maximize the code reuse. I know that there were not a lot of people working on Keras for a fact, so I knew that every new line would possibly introduce a new bug and that there won't be a lot of people to fix them, so I tried to reuse all the available code in Geeks and elsewhere. I also tried to make the software more robust by catching each and every exception, because when you are programming in C, for instance, to check if the function has done well, you just check the written code and you handle it properly. In Gale, there is often no such thing, so you need to browse all the code base, try to find all the possible exceptions and handle them. Most of the time you do not want to crash, you prefer to keep things going and report the exception on the using the logging mechanism. So that's something I try to do. In fact, I feel that working with exceptions is quite hard. I know that Google is banning them from their C++ guidelines. I had quite a hard time working with them in Gale. I also introduced some logging, some verbose logging to log everything. And all of that to minimize the maintenance and to avoid connecting to all the machines twice a day to check everything and try instead to make everything more robust, in fact. Despite all of that, we still have some issues, some software issues. I think I remember I heard a talk of a Linux kernel engineer at Facebook. He was saying that the one kernel bug you have at home, like every once a year, for instance, they have it, but every second, like on their build farm. And here, obviously, we are not Facebook, but some Gale issues, Geeks issues, you experiment at home like once a year or once a week. We do experiment them a lot of the on the build farm, and we need to cope with them in order to keep everything going. It's particularly true with the published server. We had a lot of performance issues with it. Some of them are mitigated, some of them still exist. There is still some work needed on that front. We also have some strange Gale issues related to GC on ARM, that some crashes in the remote workers there, so we need to investigate that. We also need to improve the scheduling mechanism. I tried to go for the most simplest scheduling mechanism I could think of, which is that the workers require build when the build slot is available on them, and that's it. It's maybe a bit too naive, and we would need to focus on the workers which have the more storage available and the more RAM available. So that's an improvement we need to make. And also we need to improve reporting on the web interface to know that This worker is down, this worker has not enough storage, stuff like that. We also have some hardware issues on the main node, mostly, because there is a big GNU/store there, relying on an HDD storage, and we have a garbage collect process which is running like once a day to garbage collect the store. It used to take like 6-8 hours a day, and recently it took forever, so never finishing, as it prevents anything else to happen in geeks on this machine. We need to investigate it, and we also probably need to switch to SSD storage to mitigate this issue. It would also be nice to buy some more ARM machines and more PowerPC machines. We did bought a few ARM machines recently, so we need to set them up. But eventually the CI is performing way better than it used to do, and we are now able to use it for other things than just building substitutes. So for instance, if we have a look to the CI here, you can see that we are building a work in progress branch here. We are building all the packages for x86 on that branch. We are also running some system tests on the master branch here. We are running them on a work in progress branch here. We are building images there, so Geek System images, an ISO image for x86, but also a Pinebook image, a Pine64 image. We are building all the package sources to check that every package is available. We are also building the disarchive database here. And we are providing an API which is used by the Geekspool tool to check that which is the most recent Geeks revision with available substitutes. We also plan to work on new features. We plan to have Cuirass build every patch that is sent to us on the mailing list to check for regressions, to check that the system tests are still passing, stuff like that. And we also would like to implement a feature which is part of Hydra but didn't make its way to Cuirass. It's the ability to compare branches. For instance, you want to know which are the packages that are newly succeeding or newly failing between the 1.3 branch and the master branch, or the GNOME 41 branch and the master branch. So something we need to implement. So we are like around 10 people working on all that stuff in what's called the Geek Sysadmin team. If you can provide some help by working with us, it would be really appreciated. But if you prefer to contribute by donating machines or money, that would also be welcome. And you can also report issues you are having with the lack of substitutes, for instance, or using the CI page, or even running the Cuirass software at home. So that was it for this talk. I will answer the questions. Thank you for listening.